Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been rainy out there. It's been rainy most of the week, and so everything is blossoming and blooming. Everything is green. They're bringing in the first cutting of alfalfa hay this week. The crabapple trees have reached blossom. They're blossoming out in these gorgeous, gorgeous pink and lilac colors that you would not allow your daughter to wear a dress in that shade. They're just almost lurid, but who can criticize the morality of crabapple trees? They're gorgeous. The hummingbirds have come to the feeder now in the afternoon, and the smell of grass, mown grass, is in the air. And the first black fly has been seen. Clint Bunsen saw it on his windshield of his Ford pickup, and he turned on the windshield washer and drowned it in a river of blue liquid. And that's bad luck, in case you're wondering, to kill the first black fly that you see. So he is going to be swarmed by black flies when the rest of them arrive. They know who the killer is. And Clint Bunsen may as well stay indoors all the time. The rain forced the big picnic at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility to move indoors. They had to move into the basement. Enormous banquet, two long tables with potluck, all the hot dishes, the casseroles, the wild rice casseroles, and lots of things with beans in it, and macaroni and cheese, of course, all the classics. And then the platters and platters of roast pork over on the side, and the coffee urns and all the desserts. Father Wilmer stood and blessed this food, and a moment before he blessed it, Father Wilmer, who is trying to lose weight and so he's only eating green salads, although it's perilous for a priest to turn down the food of his parishioners, it does hurt people's feelings. Nonetheless, he's trying to lose weight. He was about to bless the food, and Sister Arvon slipped up behind him and said, "I would be careful with the coconut cream pie if I were you." It was Myrtle Krebsbach's coconut cream pie, and Florian Krebsbach had brought it into town in the back seat of his car, and he had parked outside the sidetrack tap and gone in for a toot and then a second toot. And so it had sat out longer than it. And so Sister Arvon was suspicious of it, which created a moral problem for the priest, blessing food that might contain evil for his people. He blessed it nonetheless and asked the Lord to look over us with his mercy. And then he kept an eye on the coconut cream pie. He kept an eye on it. He did not eat any of the pork. He was worried about it. Donnie Frauendienst usually does the pork roast. He sits outdoors all night in the parking lot of the church watching the roasters adjusting things, but he had to go to the hospital with heart pains this last week. And so Art Heist had to take his place, who never has done this himself. He's watched Donnie Frauendienst do it, but he's never done it himself, and Donnie is not a great teacher. And so Donnie was on the phone from the hospital bed all night, giving Art instructions. What's the temperature? How does it look? How does it smell? Art was sleeping an hour at a time in the front seat of his pickup truck. And then in the middle of the night, he left his cell phone sitting on a post in the parking lot. And Donnie couldn't reach him. And Donnie's vital signs went wild. And they had to put him on an IV, and then they had to take him down to ICU, and the meat just sat there and roasted. But the rain doused the fire, and so it all came out well in the end. The coconut cream pie was cut into 8 slices that went immediately, and Father Wilmer couldn't say anything about it because Myrtle was watching him with an eagle eye. This old lady with hair dyed black was watching him. She said, "Go ahead, take a piece. I can see you looking at it. You want one?" No, he didn't. He watched his other parishioners take a piece of the coconut pie. But it was not any of them who were struck with violent nausea and vomiting that night. It was Father Wilmer, the ranch dressing that was on his green salad, betrayed him. There's a lesson in this somewhere. We don't know. We don't know what it may be. Memorial Day weekend, it's the opening day of the Whippets season, our baseball team playing down at the Wally Old Hard Hands Bunsen Memorial Park. So on Sunday, they'll be singing the national anthem. Joanne Frauendienst, Donnie's wife, will go out and sing the Star Spangled Banner. She sang it last year. She sounded like she was walking on hot coals, as she did. And then we will give the cheer as the team stands along the first baseline. We'll all say, W-O-B-E-G-O-N. We said it once, we'll say it again. W-O-B-E-G-O-N. We take boys and make them men. California oranges, Texas cactus. We play your team just for practice. Whippets, whippets, whippets. And they'll all run out on the field. It's pretty much the same team that it was last year. Ernie, the old knuckleballer, will be starting for the team, and Wayne Tomerdahl playing first base. Wayne Tomerdahl, whose problem has been hesitation. Wayne is late even when he's already there. There are all these pockmarks in the dirt around first base where sky balls have landed untouched a few feet away from Wayne's glove. People are still talking about the long ball that Wayne hit last year against the Avon Barge, long ball to right field, and it hit the fence and it lodged in between the Krebsbach Chev sign out there and a post. It wedged into a crack in the fence. The Avon right fielder ran into the parking lot. And he went to his car, and he opened the trunk, and he got out a hammer and a crowbar, and he came back, and he had to hammer at it and pry that ball out of there. And he made the throw to home, and Wayne slid in under the throw. It was came in a little bit high. It was an inside-the-park home run. Orville Wentworth is out there in right field. Orville, who was hit by a fly ball a few years ago, so he's been a little bit shy, and sometimes he catches what appear to be easy fly balls on the first bounce, which is not what we want, but he's related to the guy who buys the uniforms for the team, so what can you do? Ronnie Piggott is out in center field once again. Ronnie Piggott, who's had some eye problems ever since he was hit by a lucky punch in a bar fight in Bolas once in an argument over who started World War II. And Ronnie, for some reason, was holding out for the Chinese. He just had read it somewhere. Bertz Merkel is in left field boots, who gets his nickname from the fact that he's kicked so many balls. He comes in for an easy single, and he kicks it and makes it into a double. He's not your first choice to play left field, but he's all we have. So that's our team. They used to be great back in the days of the great Chuck Cahoon and his catcher Walter Maisonneuve and Russell Pocket, the great shortstop, and the Jagers and the Schmitz and the Schultzes and all of those wonderful players back in the past. And Wally Old Hard Hands Bunsen, who was the greatest whippet of them all. He was at bat that July afternoon in 1942 when he was struck in the left temple by a foul tip off his own bat. And he fell and he lay, his golden curls lay there on home plate, surrounded by weeping women. He had suffered a serious concussion, which emptied his mind of baseball and his friends and family. He didn't know anybody. He walked around town for a year and a half, this friendly, bewildered stranger, not remembering who he was until it was discovered that he was able to work complicated division and multiplication problems in his own head, figures of 10 and 20 numerals. And he went off to Washington to serve in a secret project which wound up in designing COBRA, one of the very early programming languages, for which he never received credit, for which he never earned a dime. Had he been born 30 years later and still been struck by a foul tip, he could have founded Google and become a millionaire. And then after 1954, nothing, just this veil of sorrow and defeat and humiliation, the last trophy that sits on the back bar in the sidetrack tab is from 1954. And after that, it was lose, 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 lose to the Avon Bards and the Holdingford Bulls and the Albany Allgemeinschaft, all the teams of the Sioux League of Central Minnesota. Lose, lose. Old men going out to play baseball, being jeered at by teenage boys sitting in the stands. When a whippet bobbles an easy grounder and then throws the ball 10 feet over the first baseman's head, they cheer. Ernie with his big beer belly walks out to the mound and they say, "When's the baby due?" they yell. A whippet strikes out, flails at the ball and walks back to the dugout, and the teenagers in the crowd say, left, right, as he walks back in defeat to the dugout. It's humiliating to be a man, to be the object of teenage satirists laughing at you, jeering at you. But these men are my heroes. They're maintaining the game of baseball, which young men in Lake Wobegon have less and less interest in. They're playing tennis, they're playing softball, they're running, they're playing soccer. God help us. What's happened to this country, the game of hardball, going by the by? And so old men are still playing it, even though they can't play it, they still do, because they must keep these traditions going. They gather Sunday along the first baseline at the Wally Old Hart Hands Bunsen Memorial Park to play yet once again. They were 10 and 26 last season. I know it doesn't sound good, but the season before they were 6 and 30. So there's hope, and the crabapple trees are blossoming and the world is green at spring. What do we have but hope? That's all we have. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.